Please open your Bibles to Psalm 119 and verse 62. You could title our message today, Thanksgiving at Midnight. Thanksgiving at Midnight. Psalm 119, verse 62, David pens these words. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous ordinances. The King James translates ordinances righteous judgments. There are but a few words in this verse, but we observe three things. David's duty carried out in giving thanks. David's fervency in carrying out that duty, that is, at midnight. And thirdly, the purpose. The purpose of the duty, the giving of thanks. Specifically, giving thanks for God's righteous judgments. These ordinances or these judgments have to do with God's sovereign and providential dealings both with the godly and the ungodly. Note that these ordinances or these judgments are considered righteous. They are holy and just. They are full of equity. Judgments, they are called partly because they are God's acts, God's judicial acts, having particularly to do with the government of the world. Sounds pretty current, doesn't it? Well, there are lessons to be learned at this point even. And I would say, first lesson, God's people are to be a thankful people. And parents, you should teach your children always to be thankful and to express that thanks and appreciation to others. Another lesson to be learned right at the very beginning is that a right understanding of God's providential dealings will always be a motivation to give thanks, even in the worst of times. It's easy to give thanks when, according to the old song that was sung 1 year ago, everything is going my way. Not a cloud in the sky. What about the rough times, the tough times? Those times that we refer to sometimes as being frowning providences. There's another lesson. And that lesson is this: Thanksgiving is a matter of the heart. Well, let's expand these. God's people are to be a thankful people. That's the first lesson. And God's word does set forth thanksgiving as a duty. It's a word that people don't like. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. that spirit of independency. Dear ones, God's word is filled with duty, Christian duty. Turn with me to Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And then, on one occasion, he wrote to the Thessalonians, and this is what he told them. In everything, give thanks. And then he gives a good reason. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything? Well, that's what it says. In everything. What is thanksgiving? What is it to give thanks? Thank you? Is that giving thanks? Well, yes, in a way. But is that what we're dealing with here? Does it go beyond two little words, thank you? Let me define thanksgiving for you. Thanksgiving is a sensible acknowledgement of favors received or an expression of our sense of them by word and work to the praise of the bestower. Well, that sets before us some different factors involved in thanksgiving. Sensible acknowledgement, I might add, from the heart, as we have mentioned. But it's an expression. It's an expression of what? Of our sense of what we have benefited from, the benefits that we have received. It involves word, but it also involves work. Ultimately, to the praise of the bestower. Now, we owe a sense of gratitude to our fellow men for favors that we receive from them, gifts, helps. But primarily, we owe our thanks to God, our greatest benefactor, the one who bestows blessings upon us that are immeasurable. Who can measure them? They are more than the sands, grains of sands upon the sea. So, according to the scriptures, we find that there are some things that we ought to be thankful for. Well, let me share this with you. It's pretty timely. We ought to give thanks for our public leaders. Public leaders. Let's look at the scripture that tells us to do that. 1 Timothy 2, and we'll relook at verse 1 to 3. Paul writing to Timothy, giving him counsel. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God. you know, as God's people, and if we do have that knowledge of and understanding and acceptance of God's absolute sovereignty, we give thanks for those who, yes, are in authority over us, all the while realizing that God is in authority over them. He raises them up, he puts them down. And in this matter of God's sovereign dealings with us, dear ones, we have to keep in mind that we just see a little bit of the picture. You take a 500-piece puzzle and you find two pieces that go together. And you put them on the table and you look at those two pieces. How much do you understand of the picture? It's not until all the pieces are in place and the work is complete and you say, ah, yeah, see now. And day by day in the situations of our own individual lives or family or work or our nation or the world, we see a couple of pieces put together. Doesn't make a lot of sense to us sometimes. But God sees the big picture. He sees the beginning from the end all at the same time. There's no issue of time with him, past, present, or future. He's eternal from beginning to beginning, and he sees all things as if it's happening all at once in front of him. Well, it does make sense to him. And that's all that really counts, isn't it? Our God is working a lot of things after the counsel of his own will. No, brothers, I misquoted that. God is working A-double-L. A-double-L. All things after the counsel of his own will. He's in charge. He doesn't have plan B. Why would he? So, in everything give thanks. Let me just include a comment here. I can do that by God's grace and by God's help because I know that however dark and dismal and depressing things may seem to me at the moment, I know that God can cause all things to work together for good. That's something to give thanks for. We're to give thanks for public leaders. And we're to pray for them. Pray that God will raise up men with standards of righteousness, regardless of what it costs. Well, secondly, we are to pray for pastors. And I appreciate your prayers, because I know you pray. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you also joining in helping us through your prayers that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. You got it all in one verse. Praying for your pastors, but giving thanks is inserted in there as a godly responsibility and duty. want to try to tie together something here for you. We quoted, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." But I don't want us to skip over something here. Here's a clear-cut statement that says this is God's will. As a pastor over the years, I've had how many people come to me and say, "Pastor, can you help me? I need to figure out God's will." Well, it's good to be concerned about God's will. But how much of God's will are we concerned about that is actually revealed in the Scriptures? How much does it really concern you about many things for which we have the revealed will of God? I was working at a church, pastoring a church one time, and we were doing some construction. One of the construction workers, I happened to be on the site there, and he said to me, he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "there's a lot of God's word I don't understand. But," he says, "you know what bothers me more than that? The part that I do understand." He said, "That bothers me." And rightly so. Well, he's got a point there. How much of God's word do you understand, and does it bother you? Does it concern you? Clear-cut statement. This is God's will. That's duty, even if you don't like the word. It's God's revealed duty. To us, it's God's revealed will. God's will is the fundamental reason of our obedience to every revealed issue. Let's think about it as a duty. And as we think about it, what about the necessity of this duty? You know, at this point, let me just clue you in. We're kind of coming in from the back door to figure out why David would even get up at midnight. We're laying the groundwork to show you what most likely motivated David to get up at midnight and give thanks. Well, number one, the necessity. Because God is continually beneficial to us, blessing and delivering his people every day, and by new mercies gives us new matter of praise and thanksgiving. We got here safe today. God sovereignly watching over us. Is that a matter of thanksgiving? Do we thank God for that? We will go home and sit down and eat lunch. God's provision. Do we take it for granted? God is continually upholding us, one heartbeat at a time, sustaining us in this life, physically, spiritually, materially. It's an ongoing process between you and God. The psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden." The King James translated, I like this, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Can we name them? Can we number them? His mercies are new every morning. Well, you see, the process amounts to this: receiving and acknowledging. Receiving and acknowledging. When you wake up, does the thought ever come to your mind, Lord, I want to thank you for a nice warm bed to sleep in? Does it ever occur to you to say, think in your mind or heart, thank you, Lord, for a nice warm shower this morning? I'm just sitting before you that we're receiving, receiving, receiving. Do we ever give thanks back for these things that we begin to take for granted and expect them to be there every day? Some mercies are so general and beneficial that they should never be forgotten, but remembered before God every day. And what are they? The fact that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We ought to be thankful. You see, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, thanks be to God for what? His indescribable gift of salvation. But not only is it a duty, it's a profitable duty. The usefulness of thanksgiving appears with respect to some other issues: faith, love, and obedience. Think with me for a moment about this. Faith and thanksgiving are joined together. Let me repeat that. Faith and thanksgiving are joined together. Where there is faith, there will be thanksgiving. Where there is thanksgiving, there will be faith. Turn with me to Psalm 56:4. Psalm 56:4. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Now skip down to verse 10, because verse 10 shows the close connection between faith and praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 56:10, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. Here, his word is enough to a gracious heart. If they have his word, what? They can praise him beforehand for the grounds of hope before they have the enjoyment. Here's praising God in advance. Why? Because the eyes of faith see what God is doing. I can praise God for his wonderful work of redemption in the lives of those who the missionaries are working with. Why? Because I know they're preaching the gospel. What else do I know? I know that the power of the gospel will be evidenced in the saving of souls. And there's an advancement of giving thanks even beforehand for those things that God will do, based upon past experience, based upon his own word. So where there is faith, there's reason to give thanks. You know Romans 8:32, I trust. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Is that reason to give thanks? Why? I have his word. He's given me his son. Based on that, shall he not also in the future give me all things? Can I thank God for those gracious provisions beforehand? Yes, why? Because there is faith in God. Another little word that's quite vital and important in this matter. It's love. Love. The act of praise and thanksgiving is an act of love. It is an act of love to God, for if we love God, we will praise Him. No doubt about it. We pray because we need God. We praise because we love Him. Are you beginning to see why David got up at midnight? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. That kind of love for God will always find a reason to give thanks to God. The duty of thanksgiving is not only linked to faith, linked to love. The duty of thanksgiving is linked to obedience. Obedience in to his laws and to his providence. Little song we teach kids and adults, trust and obey. There's no other way. Well, that sounds simple, but it's submission and obedience to what? God's laws and God's providence. God is my creator and my chief benefactor. And the psalmist says, forget none of his benefits. As I think upon the benefits which God has blessed me with, and as I give thanks for all of these benefits, surely my thought will be, how can I sin against God who has bestowed all of these benefits upon me? We wouldn't think of doing it on a human level. But let us be very, very careful that we're not taking liberties with God. Here's the God who holds my life in his hands. How can I sin against him? Does that enter your mind? How can I violate his expressed will, even in his own commandments? I should be motivated to seek to please him by keeping his law, by doing those things that I know please him. What about providence? When we speak of providence, in fact, I did this a moment ago, I mentioned frowning providences. We also use the term smiling providences. Frowning and smiling. We use the term smiling when things are going well. We use the term frowning when things are not going so well. What is providence? Providence means that the world and our lives are not ruled by chance, but by God, who is working all things after the counsel of his own will, a God who is holy and righteous and loving, full of grace and mercy. What about those providences? It's a good Puritan book you ought to read, Crook in the Lot. Highly recommend that book, Crook in the Lot. Because it says, the book deals with the text, that who can straighten that which God has bent? God bent it. Who can straighten it? Only God. So what does that say to me about this particular providence? It says to submit to it willingly, sweetly, trustingly in him, knowing he's a God that is righteous. He bent it. He had a reason for bent it. Let me get busy and learn what he's trying to do in my life. There are no social promotions in God's school. You're not going to get out of the first grade until you learn the first grade lessons. So get busy and learn them. Let God do what he's doing in your life. But that means I have reason to give thanks, because God is using all of these issues. They seem to be so contrary and difficult and hard to deal with. What does James tell us? Count it all joy, my brother, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing there's something you know, or you better know, and how well do you know it? Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I used this recently in a lesson or a sermon, but you're going to teach this guy math. What do you do? How are you going to get him to learn math? He's just sitting there. Well, you get a math book and you start teaching him the elementaries. Numbers 1 plus 1 equals 2. He's not ready for algebra yet, but he will be one day. Because you're using a math book to teach him math, to make a mathematician out of him. Take another guy and sit him there, and how are you going to teach him patience and perseverance? Got news for you, folks. There's only one book that deals with it, and it's this one. So, I can give thanks to God for this trying circumstance, because God is molding me and making me into the man of God he wants me to be. How do you conform a man to the image of Christ, which, by the way, is the purpose of salvation to begin with? Well, how does a man make a statue that looks like George Washington? He takes away everything of that piece of marble that doesn't look like George Washington. God's at work, bringing you into conformity to the image of Christ through the very deep trial you may be going through right now. God is a God of purpose. So I have reason to give thanks. For a God who is at work. Acknowledge the sovereignty of God as Job did. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Begin to contemplate and spend time meditating upon the attributes of God. He's holy. What does that mean to you? He is all wise. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. God's providence rightly considered, we shall find in the worst of times much more cause to give thanks than to complain. Thanksgiving is Thursday. We have a lot to give thanks for. But will we thank Him? For those rough times. David went through some rough times. And he got up at midnight. On purpose. To give thanks. For the righteous judgments of God. Have we done that? David said, the cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I shall arise and give thanks to thee. Because of thy righteous ordinances. Well, maybe we need to have some midnight thanksgivings. And in everything give thanks. May God so work in us that we are sincerely, seriously, and genuinely a thankful people. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we have much for which to give you thanks. We're thankful for your gracious and merciful dealings with us. For those sitting here that are to be found in Christ today, we thank you for that marvelous, wonderful, saving work of grace in effectually calling us to yourself. Saving us for all of eternity. Saving us from the guilt of our sins. Saving us from the power of sin. One day saving us from the presence of sin. For those who are not to be found in Christ today, I pray that this might be the time and the place when you will sovereignly intervene and effectually call them to yourself, making them to be your very own, beginning that work of saving and transforming grace, conforming us more and more to your image, to a people who understands what it means to give thanks for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.